by downloading it on any mobile device and searching WWGH.
Well, good morning once again. It's me, Adam Lepp, also known as Adam the Computer Guy and whatever else you might want to call me. But this is a new and temporary show that we have, and it's called Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam. And you might ask, well, what do we do here on Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam? Well, we discuss anything and everything. It can be politics, sports. You know, we can talk about controversial topics, religion, healthcare. Doesn't matter. Give me a call. Let's talk about it. Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam. Get your favorite beverage, warm or cold, and join the conversation here on The Talking Place, WWGH. Telephone number here at the studio is 740-383-9944.
Mrs. Olson! Mary, come in! My goodness! You look as if you lost your last friend.
It's my Jim again. You should have heard him this morning. Mary, your coffee is as undrinkable as ever.
Oh, and Jim's always so nice.
I know, but he's always got some complaint about my coffee. I just can't make good coffee. It's either too bitter or too weak.
Oh, good coffee is no problem. If you use the coffee with richer flavor. Folgers.
Folgers coffee?
It's never bitter, never weak, always nice and rich. Because Folgers is mountain-grown coffee.
Mountain-grown?
Yeah. Mountain-grown for richer flavor. You try it.
I will. Tonight.
Honey, this coffee tastes great.
Can't top those mountains.
Try Folgers, the mountain-grown coffee. Mountain-grown for richer flavor.
Yes, and Adam Lepp here for Better Radio. I wouldn't say richer, but I would say better. More enjoyable, more entertaining, and caffeinated or decaffeinated, depending upon your preference. We call this show Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam. Following my 9 a.m. show, which is broadcast Tuesday and Thursday, this is a new and temporary show called Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam, where we can talk about technology topics if you wish, but almost anything is acceptable. Again, even controversial topics, politics, the President Donald, as I call him, world affairs, religion, name a topic, we can talk about it. Send me an email on our private email server. Yes, just like Hillary, we have a private email server, adam@wwgh1071.com. Give me a call here in the studio, 740-383-9944. And last but not least, watch me on live Facebook video. If you're not already a friend of mine, please become one. Search for Adam Lepp in Ohio or Adam the Computer Guy. Let me know you're a listener to my show. I'll be happy to add you as a virtual friend. And last but not least, on the radio station's Facebook page, WWGH107.1. You can watch me there. Many ways to get in touch, and we appreciate your being a listener, video watcher, and in any way, a member of our listening community. The Talking Place, WWGH 107.1 FM and WWGH1071.com. We often speak with my brother in broadcasting of sorts, Mr. Nick C.J. from Brecon in Eastern Wales. Well, he is currently hobnobbing with a bunch of VIPs at the Hay Festival in Wales. He coordinates that and is participating and working at the festival. He's going to meet a lot of famous and interesting individuals. Even Elton John might be one of the people that he hobnobs with. So he's not available to join me on the show today. He normally is a guest commentator and guest host of sorts, but he'll be back next week. And we'll discuss all the interesting people that he had a chance to meet and socialize with during the event. Love to have you call me and talk about the topic of your choice. The telephone number, again, is 740-383-9944. And be sure to listen again next Tuesday when Nick and I discuss the goings-on at the Hay Festival. Should be a very good show. Let's go to the United Kingdom, to the BBC, the British Broadcasting Company. A spokesman for Belgium's royal family told the BBC that they have reached out to Burger King to express their disapproval of an advertisement. And why did they disapprove of an advertisement? Well, it features a cartoon image of King Philippe of Belgium. Royal spokesman Pierre-Emmanuel Dibau told the BBC that since it is for commercial purposes, we would not have given our authorization. As of last Sunday, the online election appears to remain underway. Participants are encouraged to select a king, though measures are in place to sway people away from selecting Burger King. So, they've launched an online election, which some people in a neighboring country are in Belgium are less than thrilled about. So this kind of happens when you do stuff online. Sometimes some of the other parties are become less than thrilled, but that's a price we pay for all the social media and other goings-on in the world around us. Adam Lepp here with a mid-morning coffee break. A new and temporary program here on The Talking Place, WWGH 107.1 FM, and broadcasting online again by the power and magic of the internet at WWGH1071.com. Feel free to call and join the conversation. Again, you can talk about anything you wish. This is a open forum show. 740-383-9944. Don't be shy. I don't bite. In an interview on 60 Minutes last Sunday, aerospace mogul and entrepreneur Robert Bigelow said he was absolutely convinced that there were alien visitors to Earth. Most of the segment focused on how NASA and the Las Vegas-based Bigelow Aerospace are in a partnership to develop an expandable craft for humans to use in space. Bigelow Aerospace's far-reaching vision puts him right in the middle of a new privatization of space. So some pretty cool stuff that was talked about on 60 Minutes. Convinced that there are aliens on Earth. Maybe they're aliens in political office. You never quite know. Of course, feel free to talk about that with me. Leave a message on our Facebook page, WWGH 107.1. And of course, watch me on live video on the radio station's Facebook page or my own page, Adam Lepp in Ohio, or Adam the Computer Guy. Last but not least, love to hear from you. Give me a call, 740-383-9944. One topic which has been discussed on this show and others would be the stability and how long will the Donald Trump presidency last. There are many folks out there who feel that his impeachment is imminent. We had a guest on Scott's show, Professor Ron Feinman, discussing that. And I think he had some very good points, and he does post to Facebook regularly discussing how this rather unique president may or may not last the entire 4 years. According to J.P. Morgan, a Trump impeachment is very, very unlikely. So kind of a counterpoint. J.P. Morgan, as part of its intraday summary, notes that contrary to some other speculation, most notably, a Trump impeachment is very, very unlikely, and adds that the impeachment bar is very, very high. The daily scandals obviously don't help Donald Trump's political capital, but market expectations for legislative action are already very low. So let me know what you think. It's been a big topic, again, on social media, on the station, and we've talked about it on this show a few times. Do you think that President Donald Trump will last the entire 4 years? And if he does get impeached, what's going to happen? Will Mike Pence become president, which we would normally expect? Might he resign? And who might he pick as his vice president? Feel free to call. We'd love to hear from you. 740-383-9944. We call this Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam, a new and temporary show here on The Talking Place, WWGH 107.1 on your FM dial, and of course, broadcasting online by the power and magic of the internet at WWGH1071.com. Without a doubt, this presidential administration and other people in office have become very controversial. Paul Ryan from Wisconsin has been in the news a lot, also a person that you either love or you hate, a man of much controversy. He is the House Speaker, and he is second in line for the presidency. But that reportedly did not stop 100 middle school students from declining to be in a photograph with him last week. These students were visiting Washington from New Jersey's South Orange Middle School last Thursday when they were offered the chance to pose with House Speaker Paul Ryan. Accompanying parents told New Jersey's Village Green that about half of the students opted out. They opted not to stand beside him. Student Matthew Malaspina said, "It's not just a picture. It's being associated with a person who puts his party before his country." Student Wendy Weeks said she also opted not to take a photo, telling the Village Green that to have stood next to Paul Ryan would have given the wrong impression of how she feels about him. She said, "I think that taking the picture represents that you agree with the same political views, and I don't agree with his political views, so I chose not to be in it." Not everybody felt this way, or at least chose to pose with Paul Ryan, who has helped repeal and replace former President Barack Obama's Affordable Care Act with the Republican-backed American Health Care Act. Paul Ryan apparently was not even aware of the mass dissent, according to some students. Students Miles Handelman, who was one of the students who did stand with Ryan, said his appreciation rested with it being such a rare opportunity. He said, "I thought it would be very cool just to see the man who is the third most powerful man in our country. It would be cool even if you disagree with him." And he told that to ABC News. So again, controversy not just with the President Donald, as I call him, but with other people of high power in the great country that we live in, the United States of America. Adam Lepp here with a new and temporary show here on The Talking Place. And the show is called Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam, where we talk about anything and everything. Feel free to call me. I'd love to hear from you. Again, the phone number is 740-383-9944. By the way, if you would like to be a sponsor or underwriter of this show or the Adam the Computer Guy radio show, that would be fantastic. You will receive frequent mentions on this show, as well as at the top of the hour, and on our website and our Facebook page. We have a growing listening audience, unique content 24/7, and becoming a sponsor or underwriter is a very cool thing to do and can definitely help to grow your business or organization. Send me an email. Let's talk about it. adam@wwgh1071.com. Current time, 27 minutes after 10 in the a.m. on a beautiful Tuesday morning in late spring in mid-Ohio. Here on the Mid-Morning Coffee Break, we discuss quirky and interesting topical news stories from around the world. The Denver Post yesterday said a sports writer was no longer an employee of the newspaper after he tweeted his discomfort with a Japanese driver winning the Indianapolis 500 during Memorial Day weekend. On Sunday, Takuma Sato became the first driver from Japan to win the Indy 500. Very cool feat there. Now, that prompted Terry Fry to dispatch this controversial message. And again, he is a former reporter, sports writer at the Denver Post, and he was fired for saying this. And what did he say? He said, "Nothing specifically personal, but I am very uncomfortable with a Japanese driver winning the Indy 500 during Memorial Day weekend." Now, this tweet was deleted, and it gave him, not unexpectedly, plenty of backlash and probably cost him his job. The Denver Post wrote in a statement yesterday, "We apologize for the disrespectful and unacceptable tweet that was sent by one of our reporters. Terry Fry is no longer an employee of the Denver Post. It is our policy not to comment further on personnel issues." So again, a definitely offensive tweet by a now former reporter at the Denver Post about the nationality of the person who won the Indy 500. No comment here. I agree with this, with his being fired. It was totally out of place. It was unacceptable. And he may be a great reporter and sports writer, but I think he needs to work on being a good human being. Let me know what you think. Was that a good move? Was it not a good move? What do you think about a Japanese person winning the Indy 500? 740-383-9944. Love to hear from you. This is Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam, a once weekly feature here on The Talking Place, WWGH 107.1 on your FM dial and broadcasting online at WWGH1071.com. A news story which seemed to be all over the press, both printed press and electronic press yesterday, was Tiger Woods being arrested for drunk driving. So some more research into that incident, and it appears that he was asleep at the wheel when he was arrested for driving under the influence yesterday. According to a police report, he needed also to be woken up. According to the report from police in Jupiter, Florida, published on Channel 12, Tiger Woods, who's now 41 years old, had slow and slurred speech. He took responsibility for his actions in a statement issued late yesterday, but said, quote, "an unexpected reaction to prescribed medication, not alcohol, led to his arrest." What do you think about that? Send me an email, adam@wwgh1071.com, or again, give me a call right now. I'd love to talk to you. 740-383-9944. You are tuned to Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam here on The Talking Place, WWGH. Of course, I'm on Tuesday and Thursday between approximately 9:13 a.m. and 10 with the Adam the Computer Guy radio show. But this is a new and temporary show, a little bit different. We talk about any topics, even controversial ones, again, religion, politics, world events, etc., called Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam. Let's go to Ireland. He was 22 when he entered Irish politics. At 27, he was elected to Parliament. At 36, he publicly came out as gay. And now, at age 38, Leo Varadkar, the son of an Indian immigrant father and an Irish mother, appears on course to become Ireland's next prime minister. Again, only 38 years old. He currently serves as Ireland's Minister for Social Protection. He announced his campaign to succeed Taoiseach Enda Kenny, who's been Prime Minister of Ireland for the last 6 years. and the leader of the ruling Fine Gael Party since 2002. Now, this new candidate, Leo Varadkar, his only opponent is Housing Minister Simon Coveney, who hails from a family of Fine Gael stalwarts. Now, while this other candidate, Simon Coveney, appeals to the party's more conservative membership outside of the capital city of Dublin, many see this new candidate, Varadkar, as a fresh face for urban voters while still appealing to the party's rural base. He has managed to shore up the support of many of his fellow Fine Gael parliamentary members, whose say counts for 65% of the final vote. The party members and local politicians make up the other 35%. A decision is expected within a week. Although Varadkar appears to be a step away from traditional Irish politics, a check of his voting record, of his campaign, promises more of a makeover than an overhaul. Again, it's a unique candidate. He might become Prime Minister of Ireland. He is gay. He is of Indian and Irish descent. Definitely a bit of a change from the typical politicians in that fine country. Adam Lepp here with the new and temporary program called Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam, here on The Talking Place, WWGH 107.1 on your FM dial, and of course, broadcasting online at WWGH1071.com. Taking your telephone calls live in the studio. Hey, don't be afraid to call. I don't bite, at least not too hard. 740-383-9944. So, what else is going on in the national and international news arena? During a lull between elections, the Supreme Court is taking on a hot-button political issue that could change the way legislative lines are drawn across the country. It's called gerrymandering, a term which arises from a district shaped like a salamander that was drawn during the 1810 term of Massachusetts Governor Elbridge Gerry. 200 years later, legal experts are still divided on the racial and partisan considerations that are at issue. Earlier this month, Justice Elena Kagan, writing for the majority of the Supreme Court, tore up two congressional district maps in North Carolina, holding that they amounted to an unconstitutional racial gerrymandering. She said a state may not use race as the predominant factor in drawing district lines, referencing a 1993 court standard, unless it has a compelling reason. Now, this ruling was considered a victory for Democrats and civil rights groups who had challenged the North Carolina maps, arguing that they unnecessarily packed African Americans into two districts. This made it easier for African Americans to re-elect incumbents to those two seats, but it diluted their votes in surrounding areas. But the next step the Supreme Court takes that could really change the game. The Supreme Court has a standard limiting over-reliance on race in map drawing except under the most limited circumstances. But it has never been successful in developing a test concerning a much thornier issue, which is partisan gerrymandering. Justin Levitt, a professor of law at Loyola Law School, said, "The court has said that too much partisanship is illegal, but it hasn't yet decided how much is too much. But that could soon change, and Justice Anthony Kennedy's vote, as it is on so many other issues, could be the key factor." Professor Levitt, again from Loyola Law School, expert on this, said, "For most Americans, it's obvious that our elected officials should not be able to punish voters based on what party they prefer. A Supreme Court decision setting limits on drawing districts for partisan advantage would substantially change the way that local, state, and congressional districts are drawn after the next census. In most states, the maps are drawn after all by the party in power after each census, meaning neither party has a guarantee of controlling the districts indefinitely. But given United States House districts generally survive for 10 years or 5 elections, the impact on policy and government is substantial. Professor Levitt and others believe that the legislators in charge of drawing the maps have gone to new extremes impacting voters' rights to fair representation under the First and 14th Amendments. So some very interesting rumblings during what could be a quiet time for the Supreme Court, but looks like issues related to drawing district boundaries and effects on race and other demographics, an important topic to ponder. Adam Lepp here, live in the studio on The Talking Place, WWGH 107.1 in your FM dial, and broadcasting online, again, by the power and magic of the internet, at WWGH1071.com. We call this Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam, a new and temporary show. Love to hear from you. We can talk about almost anything. Pick a topic. Even controversial topics are fine. 740-383-9944. We discussed topics in Washington, Ireland, Belgium. Now let's go just 135 miles or so southwest to the great city of Cincinnati. Sunday marked the one-year anniversary since the death of Harambe, the gorilla. In 2016, a three-year-old boy fell into the gorilla enclosure at the Cincinnati Zoo, and video of him being dragged by a large gorilla, Harambe, went viral. After the accident, Harambe was killed by the zoo's dangerous animal response team. But Harambe lives on via the internet. In fact, Harambe became one of the world's most famous memes after the incident. And not just on the internet. People created shirts and songs in his honor as well. Now, the Cincinnati Zoo did not hold a public memorial for the anniversary of Harambe's death, but the internet refused to let the day go unnoticed. A person tweeted, "Be sure you take a few moments this Memorial Day to reflect on the one-year anniversary of the passing of Harambe." So, kind of a tragic story, but Harambe certainly lives on, even 1 year after his death. Adam Lepp here with Mid-Morning Coffee Break. Grab your favorite coffee, tea, or other hot beverage, or maybe a cold beverage, considering that it's almost summer here in Mid-Ohio, and give me a call. Talk about the topic of your choice, 740-383-9944. Coming up after me, it's the lovely and articulate Linda Sims, and she'll be on till 12. And then following the noon features, it is now with our program director, Scott Spears. And you never quite know what Scott's going to talk about. Of course, he takes your telephone calls at 740-383-9944. He is one who often interviews celebrities. You never quite know whom he might be speaking with. So be sure to listen. He's on until 2. And like any show here on The Talking Place, WWGH, you can bet that there will be a surprise or two. Here on Mid-Morning Coffee Break with me, Adam, we talk about all kinds of interesting topics, sometimes quirky news stories from not just the United States, but around the world. We've talked about happenings in Washington, Belgium, Ireland, and in Cincinnati. Let's go to the West Coast, to California. A California woman claims that the candy company Jelly Bean tricked her into buying its sports beans, a candy which doubles as a diet supplement to, quote, fuel the body and help burn fat, which had more sugar than she thought. So some people are lawsuit happy. Anyway, Jessica Gomez of San Bernardino County in California. That's hard to say. San Bernardino County in California. That wasn't too bad. Anyway, she filed a class action lawsuit against the Jelly Bean Company in United States District Court in Los Angeles in February. She claims that the company attempted to mask how much sugar was in its sports beans energizing jelly beans by labeling sugar as evaporated cane juice on the list of ingredients. And that's according to Forbes magazine. Now, an attorney representing the plaintiff in the case, again, Jessica Gomez in California, said the term evaporated cane juice is false or misleading because it suggests that the sweetener is juice or is made from juice and does not reveal that its basic nature and characterizing properties are those of a sugar. The lawsuit also alleges that Jelly Belly misleads its consumers by claiming that its sport bean contains carbohydrates, electrolytes, and vitamins as a way of advertising the product for athletes. So again, a company called Jelly Belly, making jelly beans that are considered, or at least claimed to be, good for you as an energy item. Well, as I see it, jelly beans are junk food. But again, some people are lawsuit happy. The plaintiff, Jessica Gomez, accuses the company of fraud, negligent misrepresentation, and product liability. The nutritional information on the sport beans packaging says that one serving size of the product, about 1 ounce, has 17 grams of sugar and lists evaporated cane juice as the first ingredient for each flavor. But the Sport Beans website lists cane sugar on its ingredient list and says that one serving has 19 grams of sugar. In an April motion to dismiss the case, attorneys for the maker of these so-called sports jelly beans, energy drink in the form of jelly beans, and the company's called Jelly Belly, they said, "This is nonsense. No reasonable consumer could have been deceived by Sport Beans labeling. Gomez could not have seen evaporated cane juice without also seeing the product's sugar content on its nutritional facts panel. While it might seem short-sighted to assume that a jelly bean does not contain sugar, this lawsuit points to a larger issue on food labels. There's been a lot of controversy and talk about labeling food, be it junk food, fast food. When you go to McDonald's, do you want to know the number of calories and amount of saturated fat and vitamin and protein content on its burgers, fries, and other delicacies? Well, I think you should. And, of course, makers of junk food don't want to emphasize that their food has a lot of sugar and a lot of calories without a lot of nutritional value. But, again, there is a caveat emptor involved. And when you buy jelly beans, even ones that are purported to be energy producing, you still understand that they contain a lot of sugar, as do a lot of energy drinks. So it's a controversial topic. Marion Nessel, gotta like that name because, again, professor's first name is Marion. So obviously, Marion Nessel knows a lot about this stuff. Marion is a professor of nutrition and author of Food Politics, How the Food Industry Influences Nutrition and Health. In a 2014 blog post, said, "Evaporated cane juice is the food industry's latest attempt to convince you that it is natural and healthy, better for you than table sugar and much better for you than high fructose corn syrup." So again, another way of saying sugar. There are different types of sugar, and you don't want to use the S word, because sugar implies calories and lack of nutrition and tooth decay, so instead they call it evaporated cane juice. And the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, the FDA, seems to agree. Last year, the FDA announced that labeling sweeteners derived from sugar cane as evaporated cane juice is misleading and encouraged companies to relabel the ingredient as sugar. In a press release from last year, the FDA said that the term is misleading because, quote, it suggests that the sweetener is fruit or vegetable juice or is made from fruit or vegetable juice and does not reveal that the ingredient's basic nature and characterizing properties are those of a sugar. The plaintiff's attorneys, again, Jessica Gomez, suing Jelly Belly for misrepresentation of the sugar content of its energizing jelly beans. Her attorneys and representatives of Jelly Belly did not respond to requests by the media to comment. So what do you think? Is it caveat emptor, let the buyer and let the consumer beware when purchasing items that have a high sugar content? And if the sugar is maybe masked under a different name, evaporated cane sugar. And essentially, it's the same thing. There are different types of sugar, but in the end, it's all pretty much the same thing. Love to hear from you. Number here at the station is 740-383-9944. Adam Lepp here live in the studio on East Center Street. WWGH Radio with live, local, interesting, and sometimes surprising content 24 hours a day. Of course, be sure to go to our website at WWGH1071.com to not only listen to the currently broadcast show, to find out about our hosts and hostesses, me, Charlie, Scott, and much more, but to download and listen to archives of pretty much every show that we broadcast since January of last year. Check it out, WWGH1071.com. Let's go to Japan. A company in Japan seems like it is pretty much paradise for cat lovers. Of course, I'm not one to shy away from a pun or two, so paradise. What is paradise? Well, Furay, an IT firm in Tokyo. What do, you might ask? They allow employees to bring their cats into the office, but they give workers a bonus if they adopt a cat. Hida Nobu Fukuda, head of Furay, said, "I also give 5,000 yen, it's about $45 a month, to those who rescue a cat." Now, he's been welcoming office cats for the last 17 years, and that started when one of the employees asked to bring a pet cat to work. Currently, 9 cats hang out in the office regularly. Now, the feline-friendly policies, again, the company in Japan, an IT company called Furay, they've made the news before. Photos and videos of the cats are making the rounds again this week. Looking at pictures and videos of the office, it is not hard to see why people are sharing these images once again. The office cats, not to be outdone by Homo sapiens, have their own Twitter accounts. At @V_UME, according to Asia One. Even if you can't read Japanese, it's a pretty good account for the photos alone. Now, by promoting a cat-friendly workplace, the company aims to counteract stress, and that's a plan which has some solid reasoning behind it. Researchers have found links with animals can improve a person's mood and counteract loneliness. Some studies have even found a link between pet ownership and decreased blood pressure and cholesterol. And most people who have ever pet a purring cat can attest that the act has a pretty soothing quality. Of course, having cats around the office isn't always ideal for productivity. Again, this is a company in Japan called Furay, which is encouraging people to bring their cats to work, and if you adopt a cat, they'll pay you 5,000 yen per month. That's about $45. Their president, Mr. Fukuda, told the Japanese press that the company has a slight problem with cats sometimes shutting down the computers by stepping on the switches. But maybe that's just the way of telling people that it's time for a break. So some interesting concepts to make the workplace more efficient and more fun over there in Japan. We cover interesting and quirky and innovative news stories here on this new and temporary show called Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam. And your commentator, your host for the show is none other than yours truly, Adam Lepp, also known as Adam the Computer Guy. Of course, I'm heard every Tuesday and Thursday between approximately 9:13 a.m. and 10 in this new and temporary show called Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam is on between approximately 10:13 a.m. and 11 every Tuesday. And of course, being a temporary show, you never quite know how long it'll last. So again, feel free to call me, talk about the topic of your choice. Number here in the studio is 740-383-9944. So what else is going on in the quirky news department, you might ask? Kim Kardashian. Are you tired of hearing about her? Well, I am, but the show's over in about 6 minutes, so why not, right? Like the generic protest signs from the varied millennials in the famous Kendall Jenner ad, Kim Kardashian is finally going to, quote, join the conversation. Of course, we say that here at the radio station, so if she says that, how bad could it be, right? Kendall Jenner's famous Pepsi commercial, once called So Tone Deaf It Hurts, is universally seen as a bad idea. In the ad, which was re-released back in April, Kendall Jenner joins a crowd of protesters and hands a can of Pepsi to a police officer, seemingly as a peace offering. The officer smiles, the crowd loves it. World peace achieved. Now, many people have criticized this ad for its portrayal of police and protester relations, as well as the company, for trying to capitalize on the Black Lives Matter movement and anti-Trump protests in order to sell soda. Now, whether it was the intention or not, images of the commercial and actual protests put side by side are hard to ignore. In a statement, Pepsi said, "We are trying to project a global message of unity, peace, and understanding. Clearly, we missed the mark, and we apologize." Now, the ad was pulled 24 hours before its release. Reactions from Jenner and the Kardashians have been scant, but while talking to Andy Cohen of Watch What Happens Live last Sunday, Kim Kardashian, Kendall Jenner's older half-sister, opened up about the controversy. She said she totally understood at the end of the day, and she felt really awful for it, and she just wants to move on from it. Of course, she's a star of Keeping Up with the Kardashians, and she said she didn't see the ad until it had already received the backlash. She said, "Anytime somebody does anything, they don't have bad intentions of doing it a certain way. Especially Kendall Jenner, so sensitive. She would never mean for anybody to perceive anything in a negative way." Kendall Jenner obviously did not think the ad would get such a strong response. Before the backlash, she told Women's Wear Daily, quote, "The whole concept is really something that I'm about. So it was just fun to be part of it." So interesting shenanigans there from the Kardashians and the ever-interesting Kendall Jenner. And we talk about that stuff here on the new and temporary program, Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam, on The Talking Place, WWGH. By the way, if you'd like to be a sponsor, underwriter, or supporter of this show, or of my other show, which we call the Adam the Computer Guy Radio Show, that would be wonderful. You'll get exposure. We'll talk about your business organization on my shows, and I have three of them every week, so I'm on quite a bit. We'll also have other hosts talk about you and provide a sponsorship message at the top of the hour, as well as mentions on our website and Facebook page. Give me a call. Let's talk about it. 740-383-9944, or send me an email, adam@wwgh1071.com. We'll close out the show with an update about the Prezidonald. How could a show with me not end without at least some mentioning of our White House occupant? It is not that President Trump was excited about his first foreign trip. He complained to friends beforehand that it was going to be too long. He just wasn't looking forward to it, according to CNN. Besides, quote, he was in a pretty glum mood when he left. And that's according to one source who speaks with the president. His homecoming, return to Washington, again according to CNN, did nothing to cheer him up. Instead of celebrating a victory lap after touring the Middle East and meeting with the Pope and European leaders, Donald Trump returned to the continuing controversy over Russia. He was preoccupied with legal issues and staff problems as the controversy placed his son-in-law and senior advisor, Jared Kushner, as part of a counterintelligence investigation. Sessions with lawyers are nothing new for Donald Trump, but with infinitely higher stakes, this was different. One source says that Trump has complained privately about his White House counsel, Don McGahn, well known as a specialist in campaign finance law. But his inside counsel has nothing to do with the personal defense anyway, and so he was expected to meet with his go-to attorney, Mark Kasowitz. His longtime lawyer, two sources say, is going to become what one called the, quote, supervisor of Donald Trump's outside legal team. So some interesting goings on there in the White House, not surprising. We discussed that here on Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam. Well, I have good news and bad news. Bad news, my show's ending in about 15 seconds, but the good news is that Top of the Hour features news and sponsor messages coming up shortly, and then it's the lovely Linda Sims until noon. Have a great rest of your Tuesday. Talk to you Thursday. I'm Adam Lepp.